Hallelujah. Let's turn to John chapter 3 and verse 16. And in that same chapter, there's another verse, 36, at the end of the chapter, John chapter 3, verse 16, and also John chapter 3, verse 36. And we're just going to look quickly at this. But we're looking, again, this is on the subject of healing. And this great scripture here, redemptive scripture, this is John 3:16, for what? God so loved, who? The world, that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that what? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This word life is what? Zoe. It's the God kind of life. Miraculous life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to do what? Condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Who's he talking about? The world. So healing and salvation was for who? The world. It says the world might be saved through him. But they have to believe. And so this word saved means sozo, S-O-Z-O. But there's also another word that's soteria. And they mean similar things. The Greek word soteria and also the Greek word sozo means to be saved. And we'll touch on that. But this word saved, sozo, it means to save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. It also means to save one suffering from a disease, to make well, to heal, to restore to health. So this says, this here, the world might, through him, you could say, might be healed, might be saved spiritually, and then also what? Physically. That's what that really means. Physically and spiritually saved. That's what that actually means. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4 in the King James, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, for we that are in this tabernacle, you say in this body, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that what? Mortality might be what? Swallowed up of life. That's this word zoe, life. So this mortality is quickened and swallowed up with what? With life. We need to think God's thoughts, that, you know, these things that happen to us are, you know, in this body are temporary, not eternal. But his life is everlasting life, everlasting zoe. Turn over to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9. And 10, Romans chapter 5 talks about this word being saved or sozo. Romans chapter 5, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now what? Being now justified or made right by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, shall we be saved. How? How are we saved? by his life, by his Zoe life. We're saved by his life. You could say we're spiritually saved by his life. We receive eternal life. But it also means what? Healing, health, wholeness. I am healed by his life. This ties up with the other scripture. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. And since he does what? He quickens, he gives life to my mortal body. That's what this is saying here. We shall be what? Saved, healed by what? His life. The healing power. That's why we can say the healing power of God's working in me, affecting a healing and a cure in my body. It's working. It's giving life. We need to constantly what? Say that. That's an affirmation of faith. We're expressing our faith in what? The Word of God. I like this here. This is the Amplified in verse 10 of Romans 5, verse 10 in the Amplified. It says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, it is much more certain now that we are reconciled that we shall be saved, daily delivered from sin's dominion through his resurrection life." We're delivered from, by what? Through. By or through his resurrection life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you can see, now let's go over to Romans chapter 8 and verses 8, 9, and 10, or actually, yeah, 8 through 11. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. This is in the King James. It says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is what? Life because of what? Righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead might," no, it says shall, "also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." So this life provides what? Eternal life or righteousness, but it says shall also. That means in addition to that, it says shall also what? Quicken, make alive your mortal bodies. Now let's look at the Amplified of that, Romans 8, 11, in the Amplified version. If you have that, you can follow along, or they may have it on the screen. But the Amplified of Romans 8, 11, it says, "And if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore life to your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." He's going to do what? Quicken, give life to this mortal, short-lived, perishable body. How? Through his Spirit. He's giving life. He's giving life. He's driving sickness out of our body. That's why if you keep feeding and you keep saying the Word of God, that's why when we hear these stories like Charles Capps and others who kept saying the word, life drove out symptoms of poison ivy off his body. He just kept saying it. And he'd take poison ivy and just go, touch it, pull it, strip it. Life is greater than death. Healing is greater than sickness. So the life of God quickens and gives life. Sickness can't touch it. Then, you know, you hear the stories of John G. Lake went to Africa. They took bubonic plague, bloody flux coming out of the people's mouth, dying. He said, put it in my hand. And the news reporters said they looked at it under a microscope, and when it touched his skin, it died. Life is greater than death. Life is greater than sickness. And when you keep feeding on the Word of God, and it activates the healing power of God and the life of God in us, it will cause life to flow through every cell of this body and do what? Rejuvenate us. That's why when you see people like, you know, you see, I was watching something the other day, but when you see people like Marilyn Hickey, who's up in her upper 80s, just going, zooming, that's life. That's life restoring. We're not going to live forever, but you sure don't have to be doing this when you're in your 80s. You're moving. You've got life restoring you and energizing you. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't think old. Don't think. Think life. Think greater one is in me. Right? So when sickness and disease comes or it tries to touch your body, do like what Brother Hagin said. Just laugh at it. You may need to go to the doctor, but just laugh. Say, ha, ha, ha. Greater is he that's in me than this sickness or disease. It's greater. Now, you may have to continue to confess that. You may have to say that. And it's a battle in the mind, but laugh at it. Because when you laugh, you're letting the devil know that you've got a revelation. See, sometimes when we respond in the wrong way, oh my God, what am I going to do? It's a revelation issue. When the revelation of Scripture impacts your heart, you can laugh at something. Now, we're all not there. There may be some things, you know, I'm still growing in areas, aren't we all? We're all growing in areas. And some things may hit you, and you're like, it could be anything. Doesn't have to be healing. Could be finances. Could be somebody who said something sharp to you, and you respond in a certain way. But when there's a revelation issue, when the revelation comes that you're healed, then sickness and disease, you're not in bondage to fear anymore. You're not in bondage to that. Because you know greater is the Spirit of God in me than this sickness and disease. Greater is healing in me. Greater is life in me than this sickness and disease. And it's restoring my body. It's strengthening me. Amen. And does. Hallelujah. You know, I think sometimes, you know, we our mouths get us into trouble because we can say things. You know, what does the Scripture say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will do what? Direct your paths. You know, you can say things based on your understanding and I don't want to say disactivate or not activate, but it can hinder the life of God operating in your body. You know, I hear people, they'll say, well, you know, I used to play sports and, you know, and because of that, I got bad knees. Or I used to play sports and, you know, so-and-so. And what are you saying? Now, sometimes we can, through our life choices, we may have done some damage to our body. But that doesn't mean that God's life can't restore parts. That doesn't mean God can't get in the middle of something and begin to work. See, it's the natural. If you violate natural laws, I like what Pastor Hagen shares. He said, in life, we're running on two parallel tracks in life. He said, we're not just running on a spiritual track, we're running on a natural track, and we're running on both of those tracks at the same time. So he said, you can get in the ditch over here, and he said, now you're going to be just running on a spiritual track. So you're running in the natural and the spiritual at the same time. So you can violate natural laws, and it can do what? It can disrupt something spiritually. It can. And the same thing. If you violate something in the spiritual side, it affects the natural side. So we need to run and think about both. You need to pray about certain things. You don't just eat everything you look at. You don't not exercise or do things. You got to maintain this temple. And so the same thing. You know, this spirit will quicken this mortal body. I just love, you know, the family that came out of here, the Warwick family. Jessica was going to Rhema for 2 years. And she had advanced diabetic issue, and she had to wear a pump. You know, some people do shots, some people take medicine for those types of symptoms. Hers was more severe. She had a pump, and it would pump insulin into her body. And so she went to Rhema. She went to healing class as often as they had it. It's usually 3 days a week. She was there every day, except Monday and Friday. But she was there. And after 2 years, her dad said, her pancreas just started to work. Amen. Your pancreas just don't start to work when they've been to that degree. Medical science will tell you that. All the insulin was doing was help it stay functioning properly. So she didn't get into some kind of situation. So all it was keeping it stable. So they got rid of the pump. She didn't need it no more. What did that? Life. Zoe life. Changed and caught the life of God, the constant feeding of the Word of God, the constant thinking about it, meditating on it, caused and speaking it, caused that part, that pancreas in her body, to start working normally. Well, if you can do that in a pancreas, it could do that in a heart. You can do that in your heart, it could do it in your liver. If you can do that in your liver, it could do it in your eyes. If you can do it in your eyes, it could do it in your ears. If you could do it in your ears, it can do it in your lungs. It'll do it in any part. It'll start causing parts in our body, in this mortal, short-lived body, perishable body, to start functioning properly. Amen. And I believe this place here, this place is what, you know, when we hear the Spirit Center for the Nations, this place will be like a spiritual hospital. I believe it. I do. This place will be like a spiritual hospital. People will walk in here, and the very presence of healing, people will walk in sick and leave healed. I believe that. I do that, and I believe that, and it's coming a lot quicker than we realize. This place is a beacon, and it's the whole gospel needs to be preached, not just the gospel where we're saved from hell, but the gospel where we're healed from the effects of sin. He came to redeem what? The whole world, and redeem us from sin and the effects of sin. The blood of Jesus, because to say, well, the blood of Jesus was shed just to save us from hell, he did a complete restoration here of mankind. See, because here, think about it. If he didn't, then sin, think about the scriptures when we look at it. It said in Colossians, we've been what? Delivered from darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. What does that mean? Sin no longer has dominion. Sin's power has been broken. So that means sin and the effects of sin have been broken over our lives. So that means that I can then make a choice to accept Christ, and so my spirit is changed, but then it also means sin's power to make me sick has been broken. Sin's power to then affect this body has been broken. Because sin's power by the blood of Jesus has been nullified. It's been broken. So the power of sin has been broken. So when sickness comes, you go, no, you can't come here. Your power has been broken by the blood of Jesus. That's why we can say, I plead the blood of Jesus. I resist you with the blood. I resist you with the name of Jesus. And it has to respond. Because its power, what does it say? Every knee and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Every name that's named, he's above it. So that means he's above sin. Sin's power's been broken. Sickness's power has been broken over me. Now I can yield to it. I can make some bad choices, some bad life decisions. I can then not listen to the Holy Ghost. But think about it. The Holy Ghost, God's Spirit is in me. He's going to lead me to make choices that will be above it. He will lead me to make choices that will cause me to function normally. So if I do need some medical advice, he's going to lead me to somebody that's going to cause that outcome to come that will cause me to walk in health, not sickness and disease. See, because sin's power has been broken. See, it's been broken. That's why when we look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, Christ, what? Hath redeemed us. Christ hath redeemed us. Galatians 3:13. From what? The curse of the law being made what? A curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So that means Jesus became accursed. He became sin. He became sickness for me. Right? So it's verse 14, that the what? The blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. Hallelujah. So we've been redeemed from sickness. We've been redeemed from sin. How do we walk in that? How do we receive that? By faith. And that's why let's go over here to Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10. Romans chapter 10. And verses 9 and 10. These are familiar scriptures, but let's look at it in the light of healing and health and wholeness. In verse 9 of chapter 10, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This word saved is sozo. And verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and what? With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's this word soteria. So with the mouth confession is made unto healing. You could say it that way. For with the mouth man believeth unto righteousness. I'm with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This word soteria means salvation, but it implies deliverance, preservation, safety, health, healing, soundness. So these two, as I was saying before, both these two Greek words, soteria, which is what we just said here, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, or soteria, and sozo, that word saved, which was in verse 9. They both mean spiritual and physical salvation, or you could say, in other words, spiritual and physical healing. Same thing. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 23. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23 in the King James. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is what? The head of the church. But then look what's after that. Colon, what does it say? And he is what? The savior of what? Of the body. He's the savior of this body. He redeemed me. He saved not only my spirit, but my body. He delivered me from sin. Sin has no more dominion over me. Sin has no more dominion over me. So this word salvation, this is just a footnote from the Scofield Bible, says that this word salvation is the great inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes. So in other words, this word salvation is an inclusive word. Healing and your spirit, your spiritual healing or spiritual salvation. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and let's look at verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Familiar scripture, but let's look at it again, this word salvation. It says, for I am what? Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. This word salvation again is what? Soteria. That's what this Greek word is here, which means salvation, but it implies also healing and health and wholeness and preservation. And who is it? It's the power of God unto healing and wholeness to everyone that what? Believes. You got to believe and then what? Say so. That's what we were hearing tonight. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We that believe, we believe and therefore we what? We speak. We speak what we believe. Hallelujah. Let's take a quick look here. Matthew chapter 4. Let's look at a few scriptures here. Matthew chapter 4. verses 23 and 24 and 25, Matthew chapter 4, 23, 24, and 25. And it says here, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom, and doing what? Healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. So we see that in the news today, Syria. Went about all Syria, and they what? And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he did what? He healed them, or you could say he healed them what? All. He healed them all. Hallelujah. Let's jump ahead to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Chapter 9 and verse 35. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Look at these three or four verses here. It said, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and doing what? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And doing what? Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because what? They fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto the disciples, his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And see what happened. Because of the preaching of the gospel, more multitudes came to follow him. What did he do here in verse chapter 10 and verse 1? And when he had called unto him, what? His 12 disciples, he did what? He gave them power, or that word there is authority, over against unclean spirits to cast them out and to do what? To heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So when you look back here at verse 37 and 38, when it says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He's not just talking about going and preaching salvation. He's talking about going into the harvest and preaching the what? The gospel of the kingdom. And preaching that Jesus came to die and he reconciled us, but he also healed us. He healed our bodies. Hallelujah. Let's jump ahead to Matthew 12. Let's quickly look at this, Matthew chapter 12, and look at verse 15. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 15. Matthew 12 and verse 15 from the King James Version, it says, but when Jesus knew it, well, this was when he knew that the Pharisees were holding counsel to destroy him. It says, when he knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and what? Great multitudes followed him, and he did what? He healed them all. You know, when you look up multitudes and you hear great multitudes, I believe in when you look that up, that word great, it talks about a multitude of, usually when they talk about it, it's 3, 4, 5,000 people. When it says great, that word great I think is mega. And when they talk about it, it's like 4, 5,000 people came. He did what? He healed them all. All, not some, all. All he healed. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 14 and verse 14. Matthew 14 and verse 14. Here it is. He's talking about a great multitude. And Jesus went forth. This is when he departed from the ship and he went into a desert place. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he did what? He healed their sick. You could say he healed all of them. He healed their sick. And let's, in that same chapter, let's look at verse 34, 35, and 36 in that chapter. Verse 34, it says, And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were what? Diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched, you could say the hem of his garment, were what? Were made perfectly whole. So those that touched were made perfectly whole. You could say all here. Hallelujah. And let's look at one more, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. These are just some. Luke chapter 6 and verse 17, 18, and 19. And Luke chapter 6, this is in verse 17. This is in the King James. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. This is a large group. Look at the area it came, Judea, Jerusalem, all of Tyre and Sidon. So it had to be 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people or more. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were what? Healed. So they came to hear. What does it say? They came to hear him and to be healed. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went what? Virtue out of him. And healed them all. What went out of him? Virtue, healing power. Life went out of him, Zoe life, and healed them all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And let's look at one more in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, and this is the starting in verse 17. This is the account where he had already anointed the apostles to go for the disciples to go forth and to heal. He gave them power. What? We read that in Matthew 10. This is the same account here. He already appointed them, gave them power and authority over unclean spirits and to heal all manner of sickness and disease. That's what Matthew 10 said. So here, that's why he upbraided them. When they said here, and one of the multitude answered, said, Master, I've brought unto thee thy son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. So you could say it was like an epileptic issue. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. In other words, it manifested itself like some kind of a seizure, but it was really a spirit. And he answered him, said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him and so forth, and he cast him out, And what did Jesus say? How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And so here Jesus goes down, and what did he say? He said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. He didn't say, well, my disciples, they tried, I anointed them, must not be God's will. He never said that, did he? So just because the disciples were unable to get results, they didn't question. Jesus didn't. He never said, well, I guess it's not the will of the Father. You know how some people do. Well, I had hands laid on me and nothing happened. Must not be God's will. Better stay away from that. It is God's will. Maybe you need to activate or continue with your faith. You know, I like what Lillian B. Oman said. If you don't see change, then you need to change. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So then maybe I missed it somewhere. Maybe I unhooked somewhere. Never consult your feelings. So here we can see that it was the Father's will to heal who? All. And we can see the Father's will expressed and manifested through who? Through Jesus. If he healed all, then it was the Father's will to heal all. And so we need not have someone try to interpret what they think the scripture meant. That's why it's important to read this when they said, Jesus said, I came not to do what? My will, but the will of him that sent me. So if he healed all, then it's the will of the Father to heal all that come to him and believe. And we look at scripture and it says we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And so for us, we need to make sure that we keep our thinking right and correct. And if we're not seeing results in an area, it would be best, instead of questioning the word, instead of questioning the will of God, to find out, did I unhook somewhere? Did I miss it? Or maybe I need further insight and revelation in a particular area. Because you know, people make statements that have no basis scripturally. You know, people will say things like, well, I'm going through this, maybe God's testing me. No, he's not. God doesn't need to test you with sickness and disease. You know, the scripture, what is the scripture in Matthew 18? When it says, if you read it in a more modern translation, when it says, what things soever we bind on earth are bound in heaven, whatsoever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. If you read more modern translations, it'll say, whatever we forbid on earth, heaven forbids. And whatever we allow on earth, heaven allows. So if we allow sickness and disease, heaven allows it. Because God has made us in his image and likeness. We have a free will and a free choice. If I choose to do something, heaven allows that. If I choose to not accept Christ, heaven allows that. It doesn't say, hey, you better not do that. The word is there. So when we've been made like God We have a choice, a free will to make a choice. That's why when the scripture says, whatever we allow on earth, heaven allows. If I allow him to move in me and through me, heaven allows that. You see? But I also can allow some other things and heaven will stand by and allow it. Because I'm made in his image and likeness to make a choice. So that's why we need to have the scripture clearly give us God's will so that when I make choices, I allow this word to guide me and direct my thinking. So when I make choices, it's God's will. And that I stand against, what is that scripture? Let's close with this. I think it's in, is it Ephesians chapter 5? I mean, I think that's what it is. No, is it Galatians chapter 5? Yeah, I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, Galatians 5, 1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in what? The liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I've been set free. That means I've been set free from the dominion of sickness and disease and sin. Be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. If I've been set free, then I am not. That can mean a lot of things. That can mean fear. If I've been set free from fear, don't allow fear and anxiety back into your life. You've been set free from it. And whatever else you've been set free from. And you know you have, whatever that is. If you made bad choices and now you're set free, don't get entangled again in it. Don't allow it in. Don't do that anymore. You see. Amen? Praise God. So Jesus has redeemed us with his blood and set us free. It was God, what is 2 Corinthians 5, I think it's 19. It was God in Christ reconciling the world. He reconciled the world. So he reconciled me. He made me right with God. He set me free. And so I am free from bondage. I'm free from sin. I'm free from sickness. And I can stand up and forbid it and say, no, you can't come on my body. What does Revelation say? We overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So let's say this. I am healed. I am delivered. And I am set free from sin and sickness. And the healing power of God, the life of God, is working right now in my body, affecting a healing and a cure in my body. The life of God is causing every cell, every tissue, every organ of my body to function in the perfection that God created it to function in. I am healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for life quickening these mortal bodies. Thank you, Father, for making right choices in life. Thank you. The first choice we make is the word of God and thinking correctly and saying things correctly. And life dominates this body. Life and eternal life quickens every cell of my body in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.